Welcome to Bad Astrologer, the monthly podcast where I tell all 12 signs exactly what they don't want to hear. I'm your host, I'm a Gemini, and this is your forecast for April 2026. Shall we? Actually, I don't care if you're ready. Let's go. Aries, Saturn is sitting in your first house, and it has the energy of a disappointed parent who has flown a long distance specifically to tell you that you could be doing so much better. Combined with Neptune also in Aries, Neptune, that fog machine in a trench coat, you are operating this month in a very particular kind of delusion, the one where you believe you are being held back by external forces, when the external forces are, and I say this with something approaching affection, mostly you. The full moon in Libra on the second falls in your seventh house of partnerships, which is the universe's way of holding a torch up to every relationship you have and asking, well, is this equal? The answer, by the way, is no. But the question isn't really about them. The question is about who you've been watching all month, who on your periphery has something you want, and whether you've been quietly, methodically, driving yourself mad about it. Because that's the airy secret that nobody mentions in those bold ram natural leader write-ups. You are ferociously competitive with people you'd never admit to competing with. A former colleague, someone who went to the same school and got further. Someone from the internet whose life you've viewed approximately 47 times this week. Saturn in your first house means that comparison has started to feel structural, load-bearing, like you can't work out who you are without someone to measure yourself against. Mercury moves from Pisces into Aries this month, which sounds like good news. Your thoughts sharpening, your communication snapping back into focus after weeks of dreamy incoherence. And it is, mostly. The problem is that a sharpened mind pointed at the wrong target is just a very efficient way of making yourself miserable. At work, this plays out as a specific kind of behaviour I've clocked in Aries more than once. The sudden, intense burst of productivity that's less about the project and more about making sure someone sees you being productive. You're not working. You're performing working at quite high volume in the direction of someone who may or may not be paying attention. Jupiter in Cancer sits in your fourth house, home, roots, the private self, and it's asking you to stop competing in public long enough to notice what's been neglected in private. Mars moves from Pisces into Aries later in the month, which will feel like the fog clearing, and you'll be tempted to use that surge of energy to sprint back out into the race. The sprint is not the answer right now. The answer is boring, and Jupiter in your fourth house keeps saying it anyway. Go home, tend to something, let it be enough. Now for the part you won't want to hear. The person you've been measuring yourself against this month. You know, somewhere under the irritation that you genuinely admire them. Not envy, admiration, which is harder to sit with because it requires acknowledging that someone else has something real. Aries can do competition. It struggles with admiration. Those are actually different feelings, and until you work out which one you're having, you'll keep channeling it sideways into behaviour that leaves the people close to you wondering what they did wrong. Uranus moves into Gemini at the end of April, which I am personally excited about for reasons that are probably self-serving. For you, it signals something opening up at the edges. Not the main event yet, but a first hint that the rigid story you've been telling about your own position might have more room in it than you thought. You are not behind. You are just standing too close to someone else's timeline. Right, next up. Taurus. The full moon in Libra on the 2nd lights up your 6th house of daily routine and the people you share it with, which is astrology's way of saying the argument you've been quietly composing in your head since February is about to have an audience. Libra full moons are supposed to bring balance. For Taurus, they tend to bring a reckoning with how much emotional admin you've quietly outsourced to other people while congratulating yourself on being low maintenance. You are not low maintenance. You are a person who requires 3 days' notice before a spontaneous lunch, whose opinions about how the dishwasher should be loaded are actually a personality, and who responds to social invitations with a silence so loaded it has its own gravitational pull. Your friends know this. They've stopped mentioning it. That, right there, is the problem. Saturn has been grinding through Aries and your 12th house all year, the house of things you don't want to look at. This month, with Neptune joining it at 2 degrees Aries, the fog around your own self-undoing gets thicker before it clears. You are very good at identifying exactly why something isn't working and equally good at not doing anything about it for 18 months. The people around you have noticed. Some of them have quietly downgraded you from person I call in a crisis to person I tell about the crisis afterwards when it's resolved. Mercury moves from Pisces into Aries mid-month, which should sharpen your tongue, except Mercury in Aries has all the diplomatic finesse of someone kicking a door open to ask if dinner's ready. You'll say something honest. You'll think honesty is the same as kindness. It isn't, as a rule, and definitely not on the specific Tuesday this particular conversation is going to happen. Venus, your ruling planet, is in your own sign until around the 20th, which should feel like a gift. And it is, mostly. You'll be charming, warm, and unreasonably attractive in that solid, unhurried way that makes people feel like they've found something rare. The trouble is that Venus sliding into Gemini afterwards takes that warmth with her, and you'll feel the drop. Don't text your ex when that happens. I'm not telling you twice. The real event of the month is Uranus leaving Taurus for good around the 27th, after 7 years of rearranging your foundations like a removal man who was never entirely sure of the address. You may not even notice it at first. That's actually fine. The noticing comes later, when you realise you've been braced for disruption for so long that you forgot what it feels like to simply stand still. Here is the thing they won't print in the Sunday supplements. The group chat. You know the one. You left it on mute in January, and you have been monitoring it the way a bored emperor monitors the provinces, aware that things are happening, choosing not to engage, and mildly put out when decisions are made without you. You opted out of the conversation. You don't get to be surprised by the outcome. Jupiter in Cancer is sitting in your third house of communication, offering you genuine warmth and the chance to say something true to someone who needs to hear it. Use it before the month runs out. You have more softness in you than you let on, and occasionally, not often, just occasionally, people could do with seeing it. You're better at endurance than almost anyone. This month, try staying through something instead of just outlasting it. Different skill entirely. Moving on, and it doesn't get better. Gemini. The full moon in Libra, on 2nd of April, lights up your fifth house, creativity, pleasure, romance, and your first instinct will be to treat this as a sign that you should finally start the project. Write the screenplay, join the life drawing class, tell that person how you feel. The moon is full and round and glowing and everything feels possible, and you will ride that feeling all the way to your notes app, where it will join 17 other great ideas in a graveyard of good intentions. The moon, for what it's worth, is not surprised. The theme of April is self-improvement theatre. You've done this before. You know you've done this before. And yet, the production values keep going up. This month, you'll design the system, research the method, and spend 4 hours on Sunday evening colour coding, a planner you'll abandon by Thursday. Jupiter in Cancer is sitting in your second house of money and values, expanding your sense of what you deserve, which sounds wonderful until it starts doing what Jupiter always does in the second house. Makes you spend like you've already earned the life you're planning. You will buy the course. You will not complete the course. In love, the month starts messy. Venus moves into your sign at some point this month, and you'll feel it before it arrives. A sharpening of wit, a sudden awareness of how charming you can be when you choose to be. The trouble is, you know this. You have always known this, which means you've spent years using charm as a bypass route around the conversation that actually needs having. The person in your life doesn't need you to be more interesting right now. They need you to sit in one place long enough to be found. Mercury, your ruler, is crawling through Pisces at the start of the month, which is frankly uncomfortable. Mercury in Pisces is a translator who's misplaced their dictionary. The words arrive, but in the wrong order, with the wrong emotional weight, at the wrong moment. By mid-month, it shifts into Aries and sharpens up considerably, at which point the risk is different. You'll say the honest thing, but faster than the situation can absorb it. Neither half of the month is ideal for the difficult email you've been drafting since February. Send it in May. At work, Saturn in Aries is sitting in your 11th house, the house of networks, ambitions, and the long game. Saturn here is not unkind, it's just unbending. It wants you to commit to something and mean it, not as a philosophical exercise, but actually. The career pivot you've been discussing for 18 months is either happening or it isn't, and Saturn has stopped accepting "I'm gathering information" as a complete sentence. The bit you won't want to hear. You are not afraid of commitment because you're a free spirit. You're afraid of commitment because once you choose, you can no longer be everything you might have been. Keeping the options open isn't freedom. It's just an expensive way to stand still. Then, on 27 April, Uranus enters Gemini for the first time in 84 years. Your first house, your face, your body, your entire sense of self. Whatever version of yourself you've been performing, it just got a 7-year notice to vacate. You are, underneath all of this, genuinely exceptional at beginning things. April is asking you, not unkindly, whether you'd like to be exceptional at something else for once. Next victim, Cancer. Jupiter is sitting directly on your sign right now, at nearly 16 degrees of Cancer, and you'd think this would make April feel abundant and expansive and like the universe finally owes you something. And it does, technically. The trouble is that Jupiter in Cancer doesn't give you what you need so much as it gives you more of what you already are. And Cancer, darling, some of what you already are is a person who will spend 3 weeks catastrophizing about a slightly odd text message and then eat a wheel of brie about it at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday. The full moon falls in Libra on the 2nd, lighting up your 4th house, the bit of the chart that governs home, family, and whatever you're still working through from childhood, which in your case is extensive. This isn't an accusation, it's an observation. You'll feel it as a sudden, urgent need to sort everything out domestically, which will express itself not as sorting anything out, but as rearranging your kitchen cupboards at 10:30 at night and calling it progress. Here's the wellness angle, since we're being honest. Jupiter expanding your self-image right now means you'll start the month absolutely convinced you've cracked it. Some new protocol involving magnesium and a sleep tracking app, and probably cold water in some quantity. You'll read 3 articles. You'll buy something with adaptogens in it. And the thing that's actually making you anxious, the boundary you haven't set, the conversation you've been composting for 4 months, won't get touched. Because you can't download a supplement for that. Saturn is in Aries in your 10th house this month, and Neptune has just arrived there too. Your career is asking you to be clearer about what you want professionally, and Neptune is making that feel like trying to nail fog to a wall. You'll work extremely hard in April. Some of it will be on actual work. The rest will be on managing other people's feelings about your work, which you've somehow decided is also your job. Money-wise, Venus is moving from Taurus into Gemini later in the month, shifting through your 11th house. You'll either buy something for your home that you absolutely don't need, justified as self-care, or donate money to something out of guilt and then be anxious about the overdraft, possibly both. In the same afternoon, Uranus is about to leave Taurus and cross into Gemini on the 27th, ending a long stint in your 11th house of networks and communities. Whatever group you've been quietly sustaining with your emotional labour for 7 years, the group chat, the committee, the collection of friends who all rely on you and none of whom have asked recently if you're all right, something is shifting. You'll feel it as a vague restlessness. The correct response is to let some things go. Your likely response is to try harder. the thing I need you to sit with. You don't actually find comfort uncomfortable. You find the idea of asking for comfort unbearable. You'll do the face. You'll say you're fine. Someone will believe you, and you'll be furious with them for it. You are a genuinely good person who has decided that requiring anything makes you a burden. April isn't going to fix that, but Jupiter on your sun is at least going to make the contradiction loud enough that you can't sleep through it. That's not a punishment. That's the start of something. Onwards, I use the word loosely. Leo. There's something you do, Leo, that I've been sitting on for a while, and April seems as good a month as any to finally say it. You are absolutely convinced that your feelings are news. Not just relevant, not just worth sharing. Actual breaking news, the kind that requires a notification. And this month, with Mercury dragging itself out of Pisces and into Aries, joining both Saturn and Neptune in your ninth house of publishing, broadcasting, and things you cannot take back, you are going to post something, you know the one. The something that is technically about a situation, but is obviously about a person, captioned with a quote from a poet who died before photography was invented, as if that makes it classier. It doesn't make it classier. The full moon on 2nd April falls in Libra, lighting up your third house. Short communications, local drama, the group chat. Libra full moons have a reputation for attempting balance and achieving spectacle instead. You will start a conversation this month that you believe is reasonable and mature, and it will somehow end with three people not speaking, and one of them subtly cropping you out of a photo they've reposted from 2019. This is not entirely your fault. But the bit where you kept going after the first reply? That part was yours. Jupiter is sitting in Cancer in your 12th house, which is the house of hidden enemies, self-undoing, and things we do at 1 a.m. that we explain to ourselves as processing. Jupiter expands whatever it touches, and in your 12th house this month, it is expanding your capacity for the kind of grandiose suffering that looks, from outside, like someone who has never been inconvenienced before discovering inconvenience. A thing will happen at work, not a disaster, probably a Tuesday, and you will experience it with the quiet dignity of someone whose quiet dignity is extremely loud. Financially, you've been more reckless than you're admitting. Check the subscriptions. Yes, all of them. Meanwhile, Venus moves from Taurus into Gemini later in the month, crossing through your 10th and 11th houses, and suddenly you are very interested in being seen to be interesting by people whose opinions you have definitely described as beneath you. Relationally, what I've noticed about Leos, and I've noticed it in enough of you to feel confident saying it, is that you don't actually want reassurance. You want public reassurance. Private love, told quietly, in a room with no audience, gives you the faint feeling that it doesn't quite count. Which means the person who adores you most is probably getting the least credit for it right now, because they're doing it wrong by your metrics, and those metrics are frankly exhausting. The bit you won't want to hear. You've been presenting yourself online this month as someone who has moved on, healed, and possibly transcended. The timestamps on your story views tell a different story. Uranus, at the very edge of Taurus, prepares to lurch into Gemini on the 27th, and the last thing it does in your 10th house of reputation is rattle something loose. Not catastrophically, just enough. You are genuinely magnetic, Leo, and I mean that without irony, which is unusual for me. The tragedy is that you don't need to perform it, but you're going to perform it anyway, and the performance is somehow also magnetic. And this is probably why no one stops you. All right, who's next on the list? Virgo. The full moon in Libra on the 2nd lands in your 2nd house of money and self-worth, which is the universe's way of putting a spotlight on the gap you've been pretending isn't there. Not the gap between what you earn and what you deserve. You've been very vocal about that one. But the gap between what you want and what you've actually done about it this month. Or last month. Or if we're being honest, in most of the month stretching back to whenever you first decided you were destined for something better. April has a particular texture for you, and it's not flattering. Mercury is dragging itself through Pisces at the start of the month, which is your seventh house, and for a sign that communicates in footnotes and correction track amendments, Pisces Mercury is a disaster. You know what you mean. You're just unable to say it in a way that doesn't read as passive-aggressive to everyone else. You think you're being precise. The other person hears, "I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed, and I've prepared a spreadsheet." Mercury moves into Aries around mid-month, which sharpens your tongue considerably, possibly more than is wise, given that Saturn in Aries is already sitting in your eighth house, pressing down on joint finances, shared resources, and all the awkward conversations you've been scheduling and then rescheduling. Here's the specific thing about your ambition this month. It's performing. Jupiter in Cancer is in your 11th house, expanding your sense of who you could be, what circles you could run in, which version of yourself might emerge if only circumstances were slightly different. And you're entertaining all of it. The career pivot, the investment, the relationship where the other person actually appreciates you. But you're entertaining it in the same way you watch property programs you can't afford, with great passion and zero intention of acting. In relationships, your particular move this month isn't coldness, it's the withdrawal of approval. You do it so quietly that the other person takes several days to realise it's happened. You've decided they've failed some standard you haven't mentioned, and now you're waiting for them to notice and correct themselves without being told. This is not a communication style. Venus moves from Taurus into Gemini at the end of the month, softening the atmosphere and making you temporarily charming and easy to be around. But by then, you've already done the damage and filed it away under evidence. At work, Mars moving from Pisces into Aries around the same time as Mercury is your signal to actually start the thing, not just plan it. You've been in the preparation phase so long, it's essentially become its own career. Preparation is not the same as action, and your colleagues have noticed. Not that they'll say anything, but they've noticed. Uranus is at the very end of Taurus, your ninth house, and lurches into Gemini on the 27th. Something about your beliefs is shifting underneath you, a slow structural thing you haven't named yet. Pay attention to that, rather than to whether everyone is doing the group project correctly. The unavoidable conclusion is this: you are extremely good at knowing what needs to be done, and genuinely gifted at waiting for someone else to do it badly enough that you can take over. In April, nobody's coming, you're going to have to start the thing messy, you're capable of far more than you admit, which is why it's so annoying that you keep not doing it. Brace yourself. Libra. The full moon lands in Libra on the 2nd of April, which means this month opens with a spotlight trained directly on you, and you're already composing your facial expression for it. That's essentially your superpower and your curse. The awareness of being perceived is so constant, so structural to how you move through the world, that you've turned it into a kind of interior performance. The problem with April is that the audience has gone home, and you're still doing the show. Saturn has recently moved into Aries, which sits in your seventh house, the house of partnerships, contracts, and the person across the table. Saturn there is a reckoning in slow motion. It wants you to be honest about what you're actually getting from your closest relationships versus what you've decided to believe you're getting. Because the alternative would require a difficult conversation. Libra's real trick, the one nobody mentions in the pastel Instagram posts about your sign, isn't indecision. It's preemptive accommodation. You've already worked out what everyone else needs before they've asked, bent yourself around it, and then quietly built up a resentment so refined it practically has a vintage. Saturn in your seventh house is going to sit there, patiently, until you stop doing that. It has time. You might not. Mercury moves from Pisces into Aries this month, sharpening communication from vague and emotionally ambient to direct and slightly combative. In your sixth house, this affects how you talk about your health, your daily habits, your body. You will, around mid-April, decide you've found the answer. The answer will be something like dry brushing or magnesium threonate, or eating dinner at 5 in the afternoon because you read something about circadian rhythms. This is not a coping mechanism so much as a replacement activity, something to research, discuss, and eventually abandon once it becomes clear it would require sustained effort rather than a new piece of equipment. Jupiter in Cancer. In your 10th house is making you feel observed and evaluated at work right now, which is activating something. And the wellness spiral is how you're managing it without having to name it. The actual problem, and I say this with genuine affection, I want you to hear that, is that your body has been sending you fairly specific messages for several months and you've been treating them as optional correspondence. Your 6th house doesn't just govern wellness routines, it governs the gap between how you're functioning and how you're performing functioning. Those two things are not currently the same. On the romantic front, Venus moves into Gemini later in the month, which will make you more interesting to talk to and more difficult to pin down, which you'll enjoy rather too much. The person in your life who has been patient will be slightly less patient by the end of April. Not because anything dramatic has happened, but because they've noticed you're very warm and very present and somehow never quite there. That's the thing with Libra. You're never not charming, and you're never fully arrived. It's impressive, actually. Infuriating, but impressive. Uranus crossing into Gemini at the very end of April hints that the next chapter involves a genuine change, not the kind you curate, but the kind that happens to you. Consider this month a chance to practice making decisions before they're made for you. You are much easier to love than you allow yourself to believe, which is a shame, because that disbelief is doing a lot of damage. This one's going to sting. Scorpio, the full moon in Libra on the 2nd lights up your 12th house, the bit of your chart reserved for secrets, self-sabotage, and whatever you're pretending isn't happening. For most signs, this would be a gentle nudge. For Scorpio, it's more like finding a receipt in a coat pocket for something you bought 3 years ago and still haven't dealt with. Something surfaces this month that you've been successfully suppressing through sheer force of personality. You cannot intimidate your own subconscious, much as you've been trying. The overarching theme is this: other people's needs exist. I know, I'm sorry. Jupiter in Cancer is sitting in your 9th house and broadly in a supportive position, which is lovely and full of potential for growth and expansion. But the square from Saturn in Aries, nestled in your 6th house of daily routine, is asking whether you've built any actual foundations to grow from. Saturn in Aries is interested in whether your discipline is real or decorative. And Scorpio discipline, let's be clear, is often decorative. You have extraordinary willpower when it suits you. The problem is how narrowly you define suits you. Your flat knows what I'm talking about. There is a particular style of domestic neglect that belongs specifically to Scorpio. Not chaotic, not dirty exactly, but archaeological. A stack of unopened post that's been there so long it's load-bearing. A single unwashed pan that you've worked around for 4 days because admitting you need to wash it feels inexplicably like defeat. Your relationship with washing up is essentially the same as your relationship with emotional processing. You'd rather build an entirely new system than address the one in front of you. This month, with Saturn in your 6th house asking pointed questions about daily habits, the pan wins. Wash the pan. Stop living around it. In love, Venus moves from Taurus into Gemini this month, shifting through your 7th house of partnership. And she brings with her an energy that's lighter, more conversational, less inclined toward intensity. This is not your natural register. You'll find yourself in conversations with a partner or a person of interest, where the vibe is playful, and you are standing in it like someone at a picnic who keeps wondering what's buried under the grass. The people in your life want a chat. You want a reckoning. These are not always compatible. Practice asking a question you don't already know the answer to. Work and money fall under that Saturn in your 6th house scrutiny. Mars moves into Aries this month, joining Neptune there, which means your sixth house is getting quite busy. Mars in Aries in the sixth wants action, systems, output. Neptune in the same house wants to dissolve all of that into something ambient and unaccountable. The result is that you'll do an enormous amount of looking like you're working, reorganising things, starting frameworks, having very serious thoughts, while the actual task sits there, like the pan. Pluto in Aquarius in your fourth house means home, and inner life keep pulling your attention sideways anyway. The financial move here is to charge for what you've already delivered, not for what you're planning to deliver once you've figured yourself out. Uranus crosses into Gemini on the 27th, the first time in 84 years, activating your eighth house of shared resources, transformation, and other people's money. This is your house, Scorpio. This is where you live. Uranus arriving here is like a very unpredictable guest turning up in your favourite room. You won't like it. You'll also find it more interesting than anything that's happened to you in years, which you won't admit, but everyone around you will notice. The thing they won't want to hear, the reason nothing in your life gets resolved, is that you prefer the mystery of an ongoing problem to the anticlimax of a solution. You think this is depth. It is, occasionally. Mostly, it's just a very tidy reason to stay exactly where you are. You will get through this month better than anyone expects, including, quietly, yourself. Oh, this should be fun. Sagittarius. April begins with a full moon in Libra, right across the sky from Sagittarius. And you've already started keeping score. Not loudly. You'd never do it loudly. But somewhere in the back of that allegedly free-spirited mind, a spreadsheet has opened, and you are tracking. The thing about Sagittarius is that everyone's been sold this image of the carefree wanderer, too busy being philosophical to care what anyone thinks. Lovely story, completely wrong. You care enormously what people think. You've simply decided that not appearing to care is the superior competitive strategy. This month, with Jupiter sitting in Cancer at the top of your solar chart, that's your house of shared resources and transformation. The comparisons aren't about money or status exactly, they're about depth. You've decided that you are the most interesting person in your social circle, and someone has recently made you doubt it, and that is genuinely unbearable for you. The full moon in Libra on the 2nd lights up your 11th house, which sounds communal and lovely, until you notice that what it's actually doing is illuminating every group chat you're in and reminding you who got more replies. You will interpret this as evidence of something. You will be wrong about what. Mercury is shuffling through Pisces into Aries this month, which means your communication style starts dreamy and slightly evasive before sharpening into something considerably more blunt around mid-month. The transition is not smooth. There will be a period, probably the second week, where you're being honest but calling it just asking questions, and the people who love you will be doing that thing where they nod very carefully. In love, the issue isn't commitment or your famous restlessness. It's that you've quietly decided your partner, or the person you want to be your partner, should be impressed by you at all times, and lately you've been performing rather than connecting. Venus moves from Taurus into Gemini late in the month, which shifts the romantic energy from what's solid towards what's interesting, and you will take this as cosmic permission to be more dazzling and less present. Try, if you can, to be boring for 20 minutes. Let someone else finish the anecdote. At work, Saturn grinding through Aries is sitting in your fifth house and absolutely refusing to let you wing it. This is a genuine problem, because winging it is your primary professional skill, and you've built a career on making it look like preparation. Saturn in Aries is not impressed by flair. It wants the actual document, filed on time, with the actual figures. Mars moving into Aries mid-month gives you the energy to do it properly. Use that, rather than using it to have a brisk and unnecessary argument with someone in a meeting. The bit you won't want to hear. The person you keep comparing yourself to isn't actually your competition. They're just someone who seems comfortable in a way you're not yet, and you've turned them into a rival because that's easier than wondering what they know that you don't. Uranus crossing into Gemini at the end of April rattles your opposing sign, and by extension, the mirror you hold everything up to. Something will shift in how you see yourself relative to others, and it might actually be a relief if you let it. You're generous, genuinely curious, and occasionally magnificent. You're also exhausting to compete with, and you won't stop competing. At least this month you might compete your way into doing something useful. Now then, Capricorn, April opens with a full moon in Libra on the 2nd, falling in your 10th house of career and public reputation. Libra is the sign of fairness and reciprocity, and the 10th house is where you perform your competence for the world, which means this lunation is essentially asking you to account for the gap between your reputation and your output. The universe has scheduled an audit. Hope you've been keeping receipts. Here's what I've watched Capricorns do with a transit like this. Nothing dramatic, no tantrum, no breakdown. Just a quiet, deeply held conviction that the recognition you haven't received yet is simply late, rather than contingent on anything you still need to do. You have a gift, genuinely unusual among the signs, for treating a goal as already half achieved simply because you've decided to want it. Other signs procrastinate. You do something more sophisticated. You substitute the feeling of strategic patience for the actual activity of moving. Saturn, your ruling planet, is in Aries this month at 5 degrees, which puts it in your 4th house. Aries is blunt, impulsive, structurally indifferent to consequences. Everything you've spent your life positioning yourself against. Having your own ruler stuck here feels a bit like finding out your accountant has developed a gambling problem. Saturn in Aries wants action. Fast action. Unconsidered action, possibly. Your job is to find the version of that you can stomach without it killing you, because the alternative is that Saturn keeps rattling around in the 4th house, throwing old resentments at your walls until something gives. And the thing that gives is usually a relationship you assumed was solid. In love, you'll do the thing where you confuse stability with care. Venus moves from Taurus into Gemini this month, which briefly makes your 5th house of romance feel alive and interesting. New possibility. A conversation that goes somewhere unexpected. Someone who makes you laugh rather than plan. The temptation is to categorise this as trivial, to file it under not serious enough. What's actually happening is that you've forgotten you're allowed to enjoy people before they've proven their long-term usefulness. Someone isn't proposing a project management partnership. They're flirting with you. Try to tell the difference. Mercury moves from Pisces into Aries this month, which sharpens communication after weeks of woolly edges. But Mars is making the same move, and together in your 4th house, they're likely to produce conversations at home that you could have handled with diplomacy, and will handle with a precision so cold it registers as aggression. You'll be correct, and you'll be alone in the room. The bit you won't want to hear. Uranus moves into Gemini on the 27th, beginning its transit through your 6th house of daily work and routine. This is a long-term shift, and it starts now. You've organised your self-worth around your ability to outwork everyone. Uranus in the 6th is going to disrupt the routine itself, the rhythm, the systems, the structure you've made into a personality. The destabilisation isn't punishment. It's the universe noting that you've been using busyness as a substitute for transformation for quite some time now. You are not actually as prepared as you feel. But you're more capable than you're willing to demonstrate right now, which is an odd kind of waste that only you could turn into a strategy. Deep breath. Aquarius. There's a particular kind of exhaustion that comes from being friends with an Aquarius. Not the exhaustion of conflict. You rarely fight with them outright. But the exhaustion of trying to locate them emotionally, like attempting to have a conversation with someone who is simultaneously present, philosophically engaged, and somehow 1,000 miles away. April is going to make this worse. For everyone, including you, though you won't notice, because you're too busy being fascinating. Pluto has been parked in Aquarius for a while now, doing its slow demolition work on your sense of self. Which sounds dramatic until you realise that Pluto's idea of renovation is to knock the whole building down, and then stand back and say, well, now you can start fresh. The building currently being flattened is your relationship to the groups you belong to. Your 11th house, which governs friendships, communities, and collective belonging, is where Pluto is doing its worst, and what it's revealing is that some of your chosen tribe has outgrown you, or you them, and you've been pretending not to notice. The full moon on the 2nd sits in Libra, which is your 9th house, philosophy, belief, the stories you tell yourself about the world. What this moon is asking, rather rudely, is whether the ideology you've been broadcasting to your social circle is actually something you believe, or whether it's become a kind of personality costume you've been wearing so long you forgot you put it on. People have started to notice. They haven't said anything yet, because they're worried you'll give them a 40-minute lecture in response. But the group chat has had some notable silences after your messages, and you should look into that. Saturn in Aries is pressing on your 3rd house this month, which is communication, short trips, and the small daily texture of how you speak to people. What Saturn in Aries means in practice is that your delivery, that particular Aquarius mode of being technically correct but somehow cold about it, is producing effects you didn't intend. The friend who needed comfort and got a podcast recommendation, the partner who wanted warmth and got a considered analysis of why warmth is a cultural construct. Mercury is also moving from Pisces into Aries across the month, which only sharpens this. What felt intuitively kind becomes pointed, even combative, once Mercury hits that fire. You'll think you're being direct. They'll think you're being difficult. At work, Jupiter in Cancer is sitting in your 6th house of daily labour, which is genuinely good news. There's abundance available and real opportunities for growth. The problem is, Jupiter in Cancer rewards emotional intelligence. And this month, your emotional intelligence is essentially offline. You'll miss something because you were busy being right rather than being perceptive. Write that down somewhere you'll find it. The thing I've been sitting on. You have a friend, you know exactly which one, who has needed you to just show up for months. Not to fix anything, not to reframe it, just to be there in an untheorized way. You haven't, because untheorized presence is the hardest thing you know how to do. Uranus creeping into Gemini at the end of the month will stir something in your 5th house. Creativity, pleasure, spontaneity. And you might feel a sudden urge to reach out, to be warm, to reconnect. Follow that urge. You are, when you decide to be, genuinely irreplaceable. The trouble is, you make people wait too long to find out. And now, for reasons I'm sure they'll regret reading. Pisces. The full moon in Libra on the 2nd lights up your 8th house, which is the house of shared resources, other people's money, and the psychological debris you haven't dealt with since approximately 2019. Something comes to a head. Probably financial, possibly emotional, almost certainly both at once, because that's how you like it. Two crises for the price of one, romantically entangled so you can't tell which one you're actually crying about. Here's the shape of this month. Mercury is finishing its time in Pisces before crossing into Aries, and it's dragging your thoughts with it. You've been swimming in feeling for weeks. Half-formed ideas, deeply meaningful dreams you definitely need to tell someone about right now, the conviction that you understand something important but can't quite articulate it. Mercury moving into Aries around mid-month snaps the spell. Suddenly thoughts have edges. This will feel violent. You will adapt, probably by immediately developing a new and better feeling to get lost in. Mars is doing the same journey, Pisces into Aries, and it's activating your 2nd house on its way out and your 1st on its way in. The practical upshot. Money is leaving, possibly via an impulsive purchase you'll describe as self-care, but is actually just a Dutch oven you don't need. The Dutch oven will be expensive and beautiful, and it will live on your hob for 3 weeks while you eat cereal and tell yourself you're going to use it on Sunday. Love and relationships. Venus is in Taurus this month, your third house, the house of communication and local movement, before shifting into Gemini near the end of April. What this means for you romantically. You are at your most attractive when you're talking, and you know it, and you're using it. There is someone, or there is the idea of someone, and you are writing them messages that are quite extraordinary, tender and particular, and the literary equivalent of a hand extended in low light. The problem is the gap between the message and the follow-through. You will write something that makes them feel completely seen, and then you will cancel the plans you made, citing a feeling of overwhelm that is genuine but also conveniently timed. People don't leave you because you're too much. They leave because you keep disappearing right at the moment you become real. Work and the domestic situation. Jupiter in Cancer is sitting warmly in your fifth house. Creativity, joy, the things you do for the love of it. And it is genuinely good news that you are mostly ignoring. Saturn in Aries is grinding through your second house, asking hard questions about income and worth and whether your relationship with money is a strategy or just a personality trait you've never examined. The answer in April is the latter. The thing I need you to hear, your flat has a smell. Not a bad smell necessarily. A specific smell, the smell of a person who soaks things and then forgets about them. There is a pan. There has been a pan for days. You keep adding water to it as though time and intention are the same thing. Uranus crossing into Gemini at the end of the month jolts your fourth house, home, foundations, the private self, and something shifts. A decision gets made, or forced, or finally admitted. You feel everything more than most people, and you carry it better than you let on. That's not nothing, it's quite a lot actually. But the pan, Pisces, the pan. And that's all 12 signs sorted for April 2026. If you feel personally attacked, good. That means I got your chart right. I'll be back next month with fresh material, assuming the planets don't do anything too dramatic in the meantime. Which, knowing this year, they absolutely will. Find me at badastrologer.com for daily readings, the incompatibility test, and personalised natal chart readings that get even more specific about your failings. Until next time, don't blame me, blame the stars.